When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Osiris.
Hello and welcome back to the Corner of Gray Street podcast. I'm Bruce, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Nolan. Good evening, Nolan.
Bruce, I'm riding a high. I just came in third place in trivia at our local watering hole, so feeling pretty good, and it's about to get even better.
It is. We've got two very special guests this evening to piggyback off of a very big announcement from the band today. We've got Mr. Zach Simkin. Zach, what's happening, man? Good to have you.
Thank you guys for having me on the show. Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've also got our good friend Andrew Corbett. Nice to see you, Andrew. Thanks for joining the pod today, sir.
Well, thank you guys. It's an honor to be here. I'm totally psyched to be around you two. So thank you.
Well, the thanks is all due to you guys. So we want to be able to kind of introduce you guys because y'all will be the ones really kind of driving this conversation today after the big announcement from DMB. Thank you to the fans with a live stream coming to us this Sunday night. From Lisbon, Portugal. That's going to be incredible. Cinco de Mayo and DMB live. Are you guys kidding me? And these guys kind of helped make this whole thing happen. We want them to be able to tell the story to you. So first off, I'm going to pass it over to Zach. Introduce himself. Some of you likely know him. And if you don't know the name, I don't know what you've been doing because he's been part of the taping community and providing tapes. And then we'll pass it over to Andrew, who's also been a big part of taping community as well. But Zach, introduce yourself and tell us your kind of part in this project here.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. So for those of you that don't know, my name is Zach Simkin. Most of you would probably have seen me at a show with a big old stick up in the air with some microphones. I've been a fan of the band since I was in high school. I grew up with the Grurux album. My first show was back in summer of 2012. And after a couple of years of going, I decided to kind of pitch in with some fan help to go and start taping and archiving shows. I did a lot of that post-COVID, and I was able to go and help a lot of people experience shows. But back in 2022, I was approached by one Andrew Corbett about a little project that he was working on. And basically ever since there, I've been helping Volta through the process, and we've been doing a lot of great work together, getting ready for all these different live streams. And I think that we have something that's really exciting and that fans are gonna look forward to for a while to come. I think this is a great opportunity that DMB has given us to actually let us stream this show for you guys in Portugal. And I can't wait for you all to see it.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. And this is something fans have been just wanting for forever. And it has rarely happened. And so excited for this first kind of launching point for you guys in the band. But Andrew, can kind of talk to us a little bit about Volta and then your start with DMB, because you go way back with the guys.
Way back.
Yeah. I'll age myself out probably here. So no, I'd like to think Volta is a technology company, certainly in the entertainment space, but we would define entertainment across universal languages of like music, certainly sports, gaming, esports. And our goal is to, has always been to enhance the fan engagement experience through video platform. And we have a phrase we use, the multi-view, use it a little bit differently than some of the other clients out there, but we have this idea that if you give the choice to the viewer, to the consumer of the content, of letting them pick how they want to watch the show by giving them access to whatever video infrastructure or data and statistics infrastructure, you're going to find a more engaged community because they're really honing in and getting to see what they want. And it's sort of an interesting concept for us because you think of, if you use an old Hollywood analogy, right? So we never get away from the program cut. There's always a director's cut, a broadcast cut, call it a program cut. And that's the message being delivered at the moment, right? By someone who is trusted by the rights holder, whether it's a band, an artist, whether it's a sports team or league. But there's, you know, amongst their decision to make that program cut, they're choosing from so much data that's out there, whether it's in the case of DMB, it might be 8 or 9 cameras. And so from a Hollywood analogy, you think about there's a lot of content that ends up on the editor's cutting room floor, right? From the old days of just cutting the tapes. And what we're hoping is that we're, by allowing access to all of that, there's just this huge mining process, right? And for the fans, it's exciting because you get to see things that you may not have been aware of or may have just wanted to focus on regardless. And it might be an example of somebody might be taking a solo, but you know someone else in the band is doing some really cool sort of subterfuge soloing or rhythm underneath, and you just like, and I want to watch that as much as I want to see what the featured lead movement is. And so this idea of at Volta was, you know, provide more choice, and we think by giving more choice you get more engagement, and hopefully, you know, behind it is, you know, a business in the sense of it allows an organization and it allows the rights holders and, you know, artists, for example, and it gives them a chance to understand what maybe fans are really more interested in, and helps them maybe lead them to more interesting choices of what to provide in the future. So we think it's kind of a win-win for everyone. That's been our premise. And we're very excited to have, you know, there's a long history with a lot of us with DMB. From my background, I was going to college at Washington and Lee University. I started in Lexington, Virginia. I started in 1989. And I think in 91, 92, somewhere in there, it was, you know, I would never claim to be first in or first fan, but very early, early stages. I had a few folks say, oh, got to go up to Charlottesville. There's something really cool happening. And it was probably one of the first versions of the group. I'm not even sure. At that point, Boyd Tinsley was officially in the band. But Leroy was there and Carter was there. And Peter Greisert was on piano. I think Stefan must have been I don't want to be misquoted, but he must have been in high school at that point. I mean, it was a long time ago. And I just on the first night, I mean, just within the first hour, I can say I felt very connected. I came from a smaller New England sort of setting, not a lot of direct music. I personally played guitar. I really loved music, but didn't have a lot of live music and a lot of production experience. So I was over the moon. And then I found out you could go see these guys, you know, just, you know, somewhat regularly. And then of course it very quickly turned into the every Tuesday and Wednesday scene between Charlottesville and Richmond at the, you know, their residencies at the infamous Tracks and Flood Zone. And it just began a journey where I would say not sure I love the word groupie, but I was definitely like an obsessed fan. And very early on in that, I think back then the tour manager at the time was not the management, but I think it was tour manager. And I think he still ran lights even back then, but was Fenton Williams, who is 30 plus years later is, you know, a co-founder in the company. And it's been a key partner, but just formed a nice relationship with a bunch of the guys. And eventually they said, oh, if you're going to keep coming to shows, you know, maybe you could carry in a cable or a box or a speaker or something. And I was very proud of that and very excited and began to like travel to Washington, D.C. or down to North Carolina, South Carolina. And And something that was really cool was they let me, and they let everybody, but I was just because I was there so much, they let me tape all the time. And so I built up a collection in 92 and 93, quite a few shows where I would have, you know, what I would call masters, right? I mean, it was just straight off the soundboard. Testament to Mr. Jeff Bagby there, by the way, who was front of house for God knows how many decades, but he was such an awesome dude. And so, yeah, we ended up building up a big old collection of discography. I mean, it would be tapography, but, and then sort of went on journeys off and on and over the years, and then ended up, I was overseas for a while in a technology company and doing things that weren't super exciting. Definitely it was, learned a lot and was doing projects that were definitely, they were just not music related. They weren't media related. They weren't sports and entertainment related, et cetera. But found a way to kind of combine my love for technology and get back into the music scene and started thinking about this idea of how do you provide a more immersive experience using technology for video and audio consumption. And reconnected with a few of the folks at DMB. And asked them to start thinking about and looking at, and they were, Fenton was, who I mentioned earlier, someone who's been on the journey the whole way, saw some value in what we were doing and began positioning us there to see if this could really have some legs to help maybe drive like a more interesting and a more engaging streaming solution for video and audio. And they were just unbelievably kind to us and let us actually jump in post COVID into the back, not to the backstage, like saying that in an ego bragging way, but really to become part of the backstage family and really let us build this out. And I can remember in the early days, right after, I mean, it was like we'd have to go through like COVID test after COVID, like almost like every hour in some of the venues. But we worked hard to gain some of their trust on the tour from a production, some of the management's trust, et cetera, and began doing some interesting things. And it led up to, you know, a great moment for us in at the Chicago show, which I know you guys, we were grateful and lucky enough to have you be part of the test group that they were had approved, where we kind of showed, hey, We can do a whole number of things here. We can choose your own camera angles. We can watch a program cut and just, you know, start beginning to put together a solution that we think is definitely, we hope, or not definitely, we hope is going to be well received. And flash forward, here we are, 2024, April 30th today. Yeah, so May 1st tomorrow, and we'll head over to Portugal to kick off the big announcement made by the band earlier, and hopefully provide the first example of some of the stuff we've been working on, and it's in the guise and manner of just, you know, we were there in doing some testing Royal Albert Hall, and we could just see how excited everyone was about the Hall of Fame induction news, and we're just so pleased that they've wanted to give us a chance to be part of a celebration moment. And we'll, you know, hopefully we're a couple of days away from the first DMB Volta, you know, live stream using some of the new technologies. So I really appreciate having a chance. It's probably a little bit long-winded. Apologies. I got to work on that, but thank you for giving me a chance to kind of tell a story.
No, that was great. Yeah, no, we got, yeah, that was awesome. So much to unpack there, but really, you know, next, we're so excited to be able to obviously do this and see what comes on Sunday. Zach, can you touch on like what everyone can kind of expect from a video quality, sound quality? You know, how is this going to run? Are people, you know, do you suggest they run it through a kind of their web players? You know, what's the optimum viewing method and how are we expected to you know, really soak this all in on Cinco de Mayo?
Sure. So when it comes to the video and audio quality, we are blessed to be working with some of the most cutting edge encoders out there the video quality itself, even from the test streams that we've done, have been absolutely incredible. The picture quality is light years ahead of what anyone should be expecting. And then in terms of the audio quality, this is going to be audio that's coming straight off of the band's feed, and it sounds crisp and great. We have a great crew working with us to make sure that we have some awesome audio and video stuff going through. And especially in terms of wanting to get the full experience, I do recommend that fans take the time to, you know, open up their laptop, get their main desktop computer out, because you want to be able to see this on this big screen. You don't want to be just confined by your phone. And plus, we do have an integrated chat feature, so you'll be able to go and type inside of the chat while looking through at this cut. And I think that everyone should be really excited about this. It has been a wild ride to go through all this for these past 2 years, and I think that we have something that everyone should be really excited about.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had the opportunity, like you mentioned before, to test it out. And, I mean, I loved it. It was incredible to be able to choose back then, multicam, choose your angle, blew me away. And I was like, I still think about the Carter cam, like the angle above Carter, you're just watching him do his thing. I was so glued to that. I feel like I watch mainly that and Tim because he's an alien, and it just doesn't make sense to me what either of those two guys can do. But like, can you just talk about that, that idea, how that like started, what your favorite part of that has been, and then kind of what we might see on Sunday? It's just going to be the program fee, not the multicam.
Correct. So for this time around, we're going to be doing just the program feed. But one of the things that when Andrew initially talked to me about this idea of a multicam technology, I truly underestimated the power that multicam has. The idea of giving the agency to the fan to go and experience a concert, a show, a sporting event the way they want to is something that we don't see inside of the media landscape. It's something that's totally alien to a lot of us. And to kind of be able to get that sort of ability is just, it's almost, I can't even think of the right word for it. It's just that incredible. And while, you know, we're excited to go and bring the multicam out through in the future, even though we're just going to be doing the program cut for this one, I do think, especially in terms of just purely the quality of the video and audio, that it'll be a mind-blowing experience for all involved. And I mean, even Andrew can attest to the fact that the multicam experience itself, even through the testing, the amount of positive feedback we got, not just from you guys, has been incredible.
Yeah, just to echo, I mean, so in version one in 2012, our test group was the Counting Crows, and they were for 2 years extremely like helpful for us. And they were, I mean, they're another group with like 8-9 guys, and they, one of their things was they had to do any streaming, they had so many cameras up, right? Because everyone is like just a bona fide, like, you know, savant musician, right? And so they have camera, you want to see everyone. And we just started, when we kind of thought this through with them, we were thinking like, it's like, how do you pick between? I mean, there's three guitar players in that band, and they're all doing semi lead melody, whatever you want to call it, like throughout the whole show. And it's like, they're all doing insanely awesome stuff. And so this idea of like, hey, I want to watch this, and I don't want to like have to go watch that for no other reason than I just want to keep watching that over here. That's kind of where it came from. And you flash forward to, you know, any night on stage with DMB, and you think of the talent that's up there. I mean, I love like the fact you just said Tim is an alien, right? I mean, there's like, he's just incredible. And you think of what Carter does and what Stefan does, and you take Rashawn and Jeff, and you take Buddy. I mean, it's just, and then of course, you know, up in front, the man himself. It's just like, you know, he's an alien guitar player. He's a songwriter. I mean, you can't just say, hey, I want to learn a Dave Matthews cover. You got to actually like understand how to play the guitar first. It's mm-hmm. He's incredible. So yeah, it's, I think that whole idea of choice has just been just kind of getting to focus on what you want. And, but we also like have worked really hard in terms of sort of how do you bring this out to the market? I mean, it is, you know, on day one, the common language is, hey, there's a stream coming out. It's a program cut. And our view has been, let's make sure that is nailed down absolutely solid with our, as Zach was alluding to, just some really good enhanced encoding partnerships, so that we have upscaled just the most incredible views ever. And then we, you know, knock on wood, right? We hope, you know, that we hope people find it interesting. We hope it's been a good experience for all of the business partners, you know, and for the band and for the management company. And we hope that the technology, like, you know, we hope that it's leading to a future place where we would, you know, we at Volta would like to think that the next generation of streaming technology is, we hope the language includes, you know, multiple views, like, you know, choose your own angle. We hope that becomes a standard part of the industry language over the next couple of years. That's our goal.
That would be so awesome. Something that we've wanted, and just fans in general that do watch bands that stream, like Fish and On Nugs and stuff like that. They've wanted stuff like this, and you guys potentially, you know, kind of are harnessing that power. And that would be incredible. It would basically go from DMB being, you know, the band that everyone's like, why don't they stream? Well, this and that, they're so far behind the times, to potentially leapfrogging literally all of that and being the industry leader. I mean, that's mind blowing and so exciting at the same time. I'm really, really excited for you guys and pulling for you, obviously very hard. But we really do hope to. Oh yeah. We hope to see a lot more of this in the future.
And we ought to share with you some other cool things too. We brought some of the guys in to look at, after the Royal Albert Hall shows, we had been invited to do the same thing for the quarterfinal series playoff for the British Basketball League, which is a small league compared to the NBA, but still an awesome business over there. 15 teams, they've been around for close to 20 years. And it was really exciting to like watch this game that with every camera available. It was just, you know, it's like they had cameras on the backboards. They had, you know, they had That's operators awesome. Following the ball. They had wide, tight angle. I mean, it was just really cool. So we're, you know, I think this could be a new way of looking at content. And we're hoping that, you know, you guys, you know, see that as well. So
Nolan and I would nerd out on that. That would be,
oh my gosh, we so love this. Awesome.
Gosh. Yeah, we love basketball. But you also, next you have to work with Goose. You got to work with Goose. So we'll see what happens there. They like streaming too. All right. So can I
give a shout out actually to one little, to a band that not as big yet as Goose, but very much on the way. We, I would say this, when we were developing our third version of this company, the one that is now Volta, in the pandemic, we took our productions down to a local venue here in the south of Boston, and it was called Soundcheck Studios, and a band called Neighbor was doing a residency, who are have ended up being on tour with everybody from Humphreys McGee to Goose to if you don't know them intimately, I would say please go check them out. But we must have done 30 or 40 shows with them to fine tune awesome. A lot of this new technology. And
wow.
They, and when you say Goose, I can't help but, I mean, I love Goose, but I can't help but think of Neighbor as well. And they were some early partners of ours, and we adore them. So give them a look as well. Yeah.
Will do. Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, like we were saying, we can attest to how incredible the video quality, audio quality is. Can't wait for Sunday and hope to see much more of this in the future. But we're not done. A little rapid fire we like to do with every guest. that we have on the pod, some easy DMB ones for you. And we're going to start first. Favorite song?
I'm going to add, always going to go to Minarets. Sorry.
Ooh.
Always my favorite.
Nice.
I always teeter between Seek Up or Dreaming Tree. And right now, Dreaming Tree is pretty far ahead. I'm so glad that the guys have decided to start bringing it back a little bit more. It's a song that's been criminally underplayed.
Yeah. And Zach, Seek Up would be number two for me.
Man, definitely. Great choices.
Great.
Oh my gosh.
I think I saw that Dreaming Tree now, after being played on the Euro Tour, has been played 9 times in the last 9 years. And
yeah, that makes me sad. It should be about double or triple that. We'll get there. Eventually, we'll get there, Roland, I promise.
It's coming back.
Yeah, they're bringing it back, and they're going to bring it back to Jax. It's going to be awesome. So today, actually, April 30th, is the 28-year anniversary of one of their albums, Crash. The other day, just a couple of days ago, was the 26th anniversary of Before These Crowded Streets. Long way of asking, what is you guys' favorite album? And don't just like appease the birthday boy of Crash today, if that's what you're trying to do. Let's hear the real truth.
You're gonna put me on that button? Oh, that's not fair.
You go first, Zach.
I get to go and take the heat for this one. Okay, cool.
There's the correct answer.
So I will always have a place in my heart for Big Whiskey, purely because it's the album that got me into DMB, and that is my home in that sense. But I have been lucky enough to really spend a lot of time sitting around with Streets, and I actually just recently got a original vinyl pressing from of Streets, and was able to listen to it on a fantastic stereo system, and it just really changed how I think about that album. So I definitely will always be a Streets guy.
Good answer.
Could I like just modify the question a tiny bit and just pay tribute to a record?
Of course.
My first child, my baby boy Bodhi, was born last July. Just in the delivery room, like just coincidentally after a, they're all intense, right? Processes, but just after an intense process. And I had to go over and kind of like, be part of the smack him and bring him to, bring him to crying life. Stay or Leave popped on the record. It popped on the speakers, and I was filming like in there, like I'm just can't help but film, right? So I was being like yelled at all the time, but I actually captured this, and my Bodhi kind of like coming to and screaming and crying, and Stay or Leave is blasting in the background while the lyrics are a little bit like, especially the title, not exactly like the fitting song you would have picked for it. But so I think if I could just pay tribute to Some Devil, right? Just it was a big song for me, and I can't listen to the song now without thinking of that moment. So
that's and then amazing. Whenever I
hear the rest of the record, so
no, that's so good.
Yeah.
And the vinyl comes out Saturday, I think it arrives.
Is it Saturday?
So,
wow.
Perfect timing for that answer, Andrew. You're the man.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That was maybe some serendipitous nature there. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. I almost forgot that I ordered pre-ordered that album. It popped up on my Instagram. It was like, hey, don't forget about this. Okay, favorite venue you've been to?
I mean, these guys were like cool enough to let us come to film at Madison Square Garden, and that's pretty like, that was pretty much like, wow, for us, that was like, that sort of felt like, whoa, like this is.
It is completely unreal. I remember those shows, and that was an absolutely wild time, but I unfortunately, and I already know where the comments are going to go with this, I've got to give I have to give the flowers to the Gorge when I always do. I went there for the first time
yeah.
In 2016. It was the last year that Boyd was there. And as corny as it sounds, like, I remember the exact moment of going over that hill on the lawn to look out into the valley. And it is, quite honestly, there is nothing quite like it. The only thing that is second to that is the first time you ever get to see the full totality of Red Rocks. And I've been lucky enough to see the band in a ton of places, but there is nothing like seeing that gorge view. There flat out isn't.
100%.
Yeah, Nolan and I held hands when we crested the hill. So, I mean,
it's a big moment for us.
Our first, so undoubtedly, like, the gorge. In fact, someone had told me, turn a camera on when you walk over the hill the first time and just capture it on the side. So that was amazing. And then we were lucky enough with another red light band. Our first major production for Volta was actually with Slightly Stupid at Red Rocks. So that was, we were kind of like, oh, nice. We're here. Like, we've arrived. So Red Rocks, Madison Square Garden. And then obviously the Royal Albert Hall work we just did was wow. So yeah.
I was almost expecting that to be an answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling very grateful.
Andrew, to your head, Royal Albert Hall or Gorge?
Oh, history of Royal Albert Hall for sure, but you can't beat the Gorge. That view, there's no way.
Those views.
It's just, yeah. That finger I just pointed up was being yelled at by someone. So
sure.
I am living in a new world with a much younger audience. So
we are wrapping it up anyways. We completely understand. So
we've been there.
Perfect timing. Thank you guys, obviously, so much for hopping on with us today to kind of tell the story, more of a shorthand version here of behind Volta, behind the stream that we do have coming, and hopefully we get more of in the future. We cannot wait to do that. So thank you guys for all the work, and please pass that on to all parties, Red Light Management and everyone involved with Volta and all of this project, the entire DMB community. Thank you on the front end, and we are extremely excited. Thank you, Zach and Andrew, for coming on. As far as everything else, Euro Tour, it's wrapping up. This is the final show, the last stop of the European tour, an incredible European tour. This podcast will be doing a recap of that here in the next 2 weeks or so. Then the summer tour kicks off in Tampa in like 3 weeks. Holy crap, everything's happening right now. So we're all super excited. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Andrew, and to Zach for joining yet again. We really appreciate it. Nolan, thank you as always, sir. And we'll see all of you next time, maybe from multi view on the corner of Gray Street.
Maybe.
Osiris.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.